Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Pure Nintendo Podcast. My name is Gemma, and with me this week I have a full crew. I have, let's welcome Trev. Welcome back, Trev.
Hey, hello, Gemma, and my PN friends and my PN fans as well. Hello to everyone.
Did you think long and hard about that intro? Because that was good.
Well, as you can tell by the quality of it, not too long. I will get better.
We're going to try a new one every week, remember? So, and welcome back, Kirk. How are you, Kirk, this week?
I'm good. Trevor stole my introduction, so I'll just say hi.
I knew it.
Curses. Curse you, Trev. And welcome back to Justin and Katie. Welcome back to the show. How are you both?
Hey. It's good to be here, yeah.
Nice. So we have just a few games to talk about this week. We'll start things off. We'll pick up where we left off last week, since Kirk and I had a really good chat about Pikmin 4, which the demo is out at the moment. And Trev, I know you haven't touched it, but I think Justin may have. Did you want to give us a bit of an update on how you're going with Pikmin 4, the demo? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah. It's been fantastic. It's been a while since I've played a Pikmin game. I know they came out with the first two on the Switch recently, but I just jumped into the demo and you know, want to see some of the new stuff. But I've got the Ice Pikmin. You get to play around with it's quite a large new area that they give you. And I think I've probably played at least an hour in it. Probably has about 2 or 3 hours of gameplay. There's still...
It does, yeah.
I've probably done like 20 or 30% of the things that I found in the area that I'm in.
Cool.
There's still quite a bit. And they said that the progress transfers over. So, you know, if people are curious and they're like, hey, I want to get a head start on it, I'd say definitely check it out.
Yeah. And we have to ask, what did you call your avatar? Because Kirk and I were talking about that last week. What was the name of your little astronaut?
I think I just called him Justin. Yeah. I did. They had a little, like, you know, faux hawk tuft hairdo, and I made it red. But he looks kind of dopey. But
nice.
Just named him after me. I'm so boring. I'm so boring with names. Like people are like, "What do you nickname your Pokemon?" I was like, "I don't."
It's hard to do that though, especially if you commit. I feel like you have to either nickname all of them or none of them.
Yes.
And then,
yeah. I did that way back on Pokemon Blue. I tried to do nicknames for them. I think I had like Buddy or I don't know, some other ones. Again, I was also terrible at naming them too.
Yeah. It makes it hard for me to then remember the real names. Like in the last one, Pokemon Violet, is it Sprigatito? I can't even remember the name because I called it Iggy right at the start. My starter Pokemon, I chose that green cat. And so I called it Iggy. And then I could never remember. Like, I went to a shop to buy a plush version of Iggy. And I was looking for it in store. And they're like, "What are you looking for?" I'm like, "You know, Iggy, the Pokemon." And they're like, "Who's Iggy?" I'm like, "Oh, it's not called Iggy." Yes. So I can understand that problem. Yeah. Well, that's good. And I think we're all looking forward to the final release of Pikmin 4, which is out just in a couple of short weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to be reviewing that one. That'll be a fun one, but yeah, that'll be good. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that we've got, well, to look forward to next week is that Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Wave 5 is Mario Kart 5. That sounds strange. Is
we're going backwards.
Yeah, that would be a novel idea. So the next wave of DLC, they've given us a release date, which is cool. So I think it's July the 12th, which is next. Is that next Wednesday? That's a random day, actually, isn't it, for a release? Do they normally do things on Fridays? I don't know.
They've done some of the DLCs, I think, on a Wednesday or a Thursday.
Okay.
But yeah. It's typically just for DLCs, otherwise.
Are we all looking forward to this? I know I am.
Yeah. That squeaky clean. Looks really fun.
Yeah,
that's cool. And there's like three characters they're adding to this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or four?
Yeah, three that I can think of. Was there another one? There was Petey, yep.
Kamek, Wiggler.
Oh, Wiggler. That's right.
Kitty Piranha.
Magic Koopa. I mean,
Is there a fourth one?
Birdo, though, right?
Yeah, Birdo was. So they had,
Birdo. Duh.
Well, Birdo was in the last wave, right? Yeah, but that was the only one that was added. And then we got those extra like question mark slots. So we know there's like five more. And I think this one has, I guess, at least three. And so maybe there's going to be one or two in the next one.
But true. Yeah. I guess the good thing is that they're available as part of the DLC. You don't have to unlock them or anything, right? They're just kind of there. Like Birdo's there for me. So I guess they must just be there. Although it was always fun to unlock things back in the day, you know, to try and get gold in all the 150 CCs or whatever and unlock stuff. Yeah. And is that still a thing? There's like gold Mario or something. You have to do that before, I think.
Yeah. I think there is a gold variation.
Has anyone done that?
I think we've got a gold Mario.
We have.
Cool. I thought Trev might have mentioned it, or maybe I was talking to you about it or something, because I haven't. I've been trying to do it, but I haven't.
Oh, you got to. I hate seeing if there's not a trophy, like a gold trophy. I hate cycling through the different like CCs and be like, oh, I only got a bronze there. You know, what happened here? So,
yes, I know. I'm the same. So I stick to the 50 and 100 because they're all gold. And then 150 is like half kind of thing. And then 200, forget it. Oh, Mira's not too bad, I guess. Mira, I don't know. But next week, we should get, we'll hopefully get together and try it out as a team, have a game night and play some Mario Kart. And then we can talk about it on the show, our impressions next week. Kirk, are you going to be joining us in a bit of Mario Kart?
I can do that, sure. I'll do it.
If I have to.
Contain yourself, Kirk.
Yes. Well, something we haven't talked about for a few weeks, which we were a bit obsessed with earlier this year, was The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. So,
wait, are we all done Mario Kart?
We done? Oh, well, no, go for it. You got other things to say on Mario Kart?
Oh, well, a little bit.
Okay, not sure. Well,
I was just looking at the courses, you know, that are coming. And, of course, I haven't played Tour, so when you take the Tour courses and then squeaky clean, like, that's more than half are, like, brand new to me.
True.
But I was also thinking, and I've said this before, you know, we have one of them coming from the GBA game, Sunset Wilds. And I'm always interested to see how those older tracks, like from the GBA or SNES, are updated, you know, and kind of that 3D HD look.
That's true.
I'm really looking forward to that. And of course, Daisy Cruiser, which is one I've been waiting for a long time from Double Dash. So,
yeah. I was trying to avoid, I don't know why, it's not really a spoiler, but I haven't actually looked at the list of new tracks.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gemma.
No, it's fine. I'm looking at it now because you know what? It's only a few days away. And oh my gosh, I am so excited because Daisy Cruiser, that's one I've been looking forward to as well. They seem to miss the GameCube a lot. So it's really good to see another GameCube title or track.
I'll have to put up a spoiler warning in case there's other people like you.
I love that they're going to have the what's the one on there? The one that kind of goes underwater.
Koopa Cape?
Koopa Cape? Yeah.
Oh, Koopa Cape
is great.
Yeah, from the Wii. And that'll be popular because everyone knows. I think the Wii was the most popular one before Mario Kart 8. And there's two Wii ones by the looks of it. Yeah. Moonview Highway and Koopa
Moonview. Cape. I bet you Moonview Highway is really going to look good in HD.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. The Game Boy Advance ones always look stunning compared to the originals. I love
what I almost don't recognize them. Like I play them, and I'm like, intellectually, I know I've played this before, but it just feels so different, looks so different, sounds so different.
Yeah, they do a really good job, honestly. And I don't know if I said this on the show or just in passing, but I'm going to be sad when they actually finish with the waves, like after wave six. You know, this has been such a cool thing to look forward to every, 3 to 6 months we've had a lot of tracks to play. I don't know what's next. What's happening next year, but that'll be something to worry about next year, I guess.
Yeah, hey, maybe the next Mario Kart will launch with the new system.
Yeah, well, maybe. That's what I was thinking, right?
Oh, man.
Who knows? It has to be something like that.
Don't give me hope.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, it looks like there's three tour tracks, Chirp. So that's really good. Athens, Los Angeles, and Vancouver. So some very cool cities. I have played the Athens one because that was new this year, I think, back in like April. I remember that came out on tour and I did give that a go. So that'll be fun. I don't think I've played the other two, Los Angeles or Vancouver. So they'll be basically new tracks for me and for a lot of players. So yeah, that's really nice. So yeah, we'll have a go next week and then we'll all be able to pick our favorites, and I'm sure Justin will end up winning as usual. And I'll just be looking at him from behind, like, so close. Yeah, no, it's so much fun, Mario Kart, so much fun. Always good times. So, yes, Trev, are you done with Mario Kart now?
Yeah, I think so, now that I've ruined it for you.
Thank you. All good. All right, well, let's go to Zelda then. Just a quick update to see if anyone's been playing it recently. I know, Justin, you've finished it because you finished it quite a few weeks ago. And how is everyone else going? Maybe, Kirk, you haven't spoken for a while. How are you going in Hyrule?
I'm afraid I don't have anything to say here either. I haven't picked it up, I think, in about 3 weeks now.
Well, you have been very busy, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope to get some more in before Pikmin 4, because when Pikmin 4 comes, that's going to have my attention. But we'll see.
Yeah. I'm a bit the same. I've played a little, but I was really, really trying to get a dungeon done for you guys, so I could tell you that I've done a dungeon today, but alas, I have not. I went, I decided to go to the stables and look for the that journalist, so to get that sort of side of things happening. And I decided to go to the Sky Towers again to look for geoglyphs. Like, I thought, I'm just going to go up into the air and have a look around. I did find one down in the southeast kind of corner, I think it was, like that crocodile-looking one. And then there's that village, right nearby that's been attacked by pirates. So, of course, I had to save that village. I think it starts with L, is it? Something, Lirlin or something?
Yeah, Lirlin, yeah.
Yeah, so you know, the dungeons just had to wait. This little town was overrun by enemies. So what could I do? I can't walk away from that.
Was that hard for you? My son said that was a very annoying battle to have to get through to win. I haven't tried it yet.
Yes, actually. Even from the very beginning, like, I was up on the hill. There's a shrine, so I did the shrine. And then I'm talking to the two guys from the town, like the mayor. I don't know if he's the mayor. He's someone from the town. And, you know, we're looking around and spotting enemies. And so I'm like, oh, there's three just down there, just chilling. I'll just, like, glide in and surprise them. And I had the high ground and everything, you know, like Obi-Wan, I was like, I've got the high ground. But but no, it didn't help. They kind of, I don't know what sort of weapon they were wielding, but they just whacked me and I died. I'm like, wait, what? What is going on? So I did, even just those first three, I did that like three or four times. I decided to snipe them from afar with like ice and then come down and take them out. And I got two of them. And then the third guy just took me out. I'm like, what is going on? Why are these guys so OP? Like, so powerful. Anyway, it was tough. Yes, in short. So, yeah, must be just one of the tougher battles, I guess. So, whereas the pirates up somewhere else on the kind of northeast, there was a pirate ship off the side there that only took me maybe two or three goes. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Is that the one that are like two ships right beside each other?
Yeah.
I did beat that one. I think I got that on my first try. But yeah, not looking forward to this other one.
Yeah. That one was pretty fun.
I'll have to suffer a little longer.
Yeah. Yeah. That one on the site with the two ships was quite fun, I thought. Because I snuck up on the back of the first ship, took out the little dude there, and then I climbed up on the, what do you call, like the mast, I guess, of the ship, and you can kind of snipe a few people from up there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they all started seeing you, and there's those flying creatures that try to attack you. So you use a lot of arrows in that one. but I did throw a lot of TNT around, and yeah. Which reminds me, someone created this TNT thing that they've fused. I don't know if you saw this on like Twitter or YouTube or whatever, but it basically one-shots most bosses like even the Gliox. It's like this, mm-hmm. I think it's like 16 TNT barrels fused together or something. And they just, yeah, they take out anything, almost anything. There's a couple of exceptions. But anyone tried anything like that?
No.
That's it. How about you, Katie? How's your world, how's your Hyrule travels going?
Oh, pretty good. I feel like I've been trying to like come. So yeah, I did all the stables. I got all the fairies, great fairies. And I'm currently trying to get the depths explored. But like right now I'm at the point where I can go to the castle and start fighting Ganon, but I kind of like,
yeah. It's a bit intimidating.
Yeah. I need more hearts. Maybe I need more hearts.
How many hearts do you have now, you?
I have 16.
That's pretty good. What's the max?
And your stamina gauge is...
Yeah, I've almost finished the stamina gauge. I have like a fourth left.
Cool. What's the max number of hearts you can get? Is it 20 or 40?
I think it's 40, yeah, because yeah. It's 20 per row, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Oh, is it? I've been a little discouraged because every heart I get, I'm like, oh, this is going to start a new row.
Yeah.
And it still hasn't. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm like, I feel so underpowered because I haven't started a second row, but it looks like I have a ton of hearts, but I don't know.
Yeah, same. I'm still in the first row. Yeah. Kirk, like, are you in the second row for Kirk?
Ask me next week.
Okay. Oh, yeah, sorry.
It's been so long since I played, I can't remember. Okay. It's got to be one row. I'm sure I'm on one row.
Yeah. And Justin, did you ever make it to two rows? Because I know you kind of, you went in pretty hard. Like.
I was getting good at the flurry rush. And yeah. I think I finished the game with 14 hearts. Something like that.
12.
It was maybe 12.
It was 12, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is doable like, then.
Well, like Ganon would two-shot you. So I had not upgraded any, I hadn't done any great fairies. So my armor was just stock.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not advisable, but it's doable.
It does sound very stressful.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. That last battle was very stressful.
How many goes did it take then? If he's two-shotting you every time?
Man, I don't know. 30?
Okay.
It was just one of those things where I get in this mode where I'm just going to brute force this. Let's just see what I can learn each time. You know, like oh okay, failed. Don't do that. Okay. You know, and then you get a little bit further and you're like, oh, okay, that's interesting. So I'm just I know his moves really well now, but I probably still have to, you know, it's been a few weeks, but like learning the dodges, when to dodge, like seeing where his arm is. Cause like he does give you, he does telegraph some of his attacks. So depending on if Ganondorf's arm is like off to the side, you know, he's going to swipe from that side that the arm is. If he shows it above his head before he charges you, it's going to come over his head. It'll be a straight down. So like if you do a backflip, he'll still hit you. So you have to specifically do a side, side dash, yep. You know, mm-hmm. So there's all that type of stuff that I knew obviously at the time that I was doing it, but just kept rinse and repeat, like just, you know, muscle memory over and over until I finally got it. There is a really fun surprise in that last boss battle. I don't want to spoil it for you guys, but it's interesting.
Ooh, intriguing. So, I'm a long way from there.
it's worth, like, it's definitely worth, like, the Ganondorf battle, all of his phases is maybe, it's one of the best boss battles in Zelda game, probably.
Well, that's cool.
It's pretty epic.
Yeah. High praise. Yeah. Did you watch this battle, Katie?
I did.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to go fight him. So are you sure you're going to see it? I'm like, maybe. Let's see how it's done first.
Yeah. I'd be the same. Like, how could you not? Like, if he's right there, you know. yeah. It'd be very too hard to resist, I think. to watch that. Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, you did, I think you did pretty well. 14 or 12 hearts, whatever it was. I'm impressed. I'm really impressed. Yeah. And I'm going to drag this out, like, this game for the longest time. Yeah, it'll take me a long time, but that's okay. So, anyway, thank you for the update on Hyrule. And, Trev, did you have anything else to add to that? I don't know if we really got around to you, sorry.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that last thing you said. But
oh, did we get around to you to your Zelda update? How are you traveling?
Oh, yeah. I did take a little break. Not really because of any dissatisfaction with the game, although I will say I was slightly underwhelmed when we kind of lit up the entire depths. I thought there'd be more of a, I don't know. I guess I was expecting more for accomplishing it because it seemed like it took a long time and it was hard.
But
I mainly took a break just because I have review games that are just not getting attention. And I'm like, I got to start getting back on the ball. So a little bit of a hiatus, but Jen's still playing it. She actually started on her own profile.
Cool.
Because I felt like she was kind of jumping ahead of me. Like I'd recap with her and she'd be like, this is what I did. I did this and this and this and this and this. I'm like, whoa. Wait, what? she's playing on her own profile and we've accomplished a lot of the, like the main things, you know, like the dungeons and, you know, finishing the depths and whatnot. But, you know, part of me also doesn't necessarily want it to end. I'm like, how close can we get to like 100%ing this, you know? So,
yeah,
like Kirk, I'll be picking it back up, you know, probably in the weeks ahead.
Sounds good. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. It's just the game that keeps on giving by the looks of it. So yeah, I think
I figure I'll go back to it, Gemma, when you finally do a dungeon.
Yeah. Well, I really got close. And then I think I told you guys, I left, I was on the way to what I'm calling the first one, even though it's not really the first one, cause they're not in order, but that Rito Village one. And then I actually looked up where that little Tulan is because I couldn't find him. and so I need to go back because I know where he is now. But he's right there. Like, I was so close. I just had to go up the cliff or something. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I was wandering around looking for him. Apparently he's right there. So, yeah, I feel a little silly, but that's okay.
I stumbled upon him too. Like, it was by accident. I was like, I think it's somewhere around. Oh. Yeah.
It could be more clear. I remember that as well. That
yeah. It's like a wild goose chase or a wild Rito chase, honestly.
Yeah.
Which is why I just gave up and left and started doing other things. But yeah, I'll go back. That's okay. Yeah. I'll try my hardest, Trev, for you. How about that? But let's talk about some other games we're playing since there are other games in our lives. And Kirk, if you don't mind starting with AEW Fight Forever, because this is one we talked about a few weeks ago. There was an upcoming game that you were interested in, and I believe you're reviewing it currently. How's that shaping up? Because this was the first of this franchise or something, right? Like first of this.
Yeah. It's interesting to review too. It came out last week. I'm a bit behind on the review, but that's largely because I'm simply not good at fighting games.
Right.
I never really have been. I'm kind of playing it more as a fan of AEW, which is All Elite Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know or haven't seen it, it's kind of an alternative league to WWE. Smaller, cool. But the one I prefer. And it's the game, I think I mentioned before, is developed by a company called Yuke's, who developed some previous games for WWE, some of the more respected ones, and then they hadn't for a while, so they brought them on. And the reviews are getting a lot of comparisons, obviously, then to the older games. But it's taking me a bit to get into it because, you know, there's an awful lot to learn. There are a ton of wrestlers. There are a ton of moves. There are a ton of counters. Weapons, an unbelievable number of weapons you can use in the ring, everything from barbed wire baseball bats to skateboards to fire extinguishers and football helmets.
Wow.
So a lot of different modes you could play too. There are, you've got your one-on-one matches, 2-on-2, 3-on-3. There's something called the exploding barbed wire death match. which is based on an actual match that happened in AEW, and one of the more notorious matches because it didn't quite end as it was supposed to. There's an awful lot to do and an awful lot to experiment with. You can create your own wrestler, and you can customize everything from your outfit to your moveset to your entrance music based on the songs that are available in the game, of course, to the clothes that you wear when you're doing press conferences. And like, there are story elements. So when you're just backstage talking to other wrestlers, you can customize that. So there's an awful lot to get into, and I'm finally at the point where I can wrap it up and offer some thoughts on the game.
Wow, that's a lot, actually. What did you end up calling your wrestler?
Well, without going into too much explanation, there was a point where my friend Jim and I, Jim being a huge, huge wrestling fan, we were developing our own characters, and my guy was named Here Comes Heiner. so that the announcers would refer to him as Here Comes. So that was my name. The first name is Here Comes, and the last name is Heiner.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Very cool. No Flash Gordon references this week?
No, I got to keep my professional career and my Flash Gordon fandom separate. Right. Plus, when it actually takes off and I become a professional wrestler, then I got trademark issues to deal with. True. So, I just went that way.
That's
although I will say, in my treatment for the upcoming Flash Gordon movie, which I'm going to write, Flash Gordon is not a football player like in the 1980 movie, or a world-class polo player like in the original comic. He is a professional wrestler.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Watch for 6 years from now in theaters near you.
Okay. 2029. Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. You said that it was developed by or published by Yuke's?
Yes.
Is that like Dr. Zeus, like the Yuke's versus the Zeus?
I can't imagine there's a connection.
Is it Y-O-O-K-S?
No, Y-U-K-E-S. And I may be pronouncing it wrong for all I know. Y-U-K-E-S.
Yeah, I was just thinking of the butter battle. And it's also, sorry, a bit of a side note, but we were talking about Dr. Zeus last week. You know, the Yukes have I don't know which one has their butter upside down on the toast and one has it the other way around. Does anyone remember that? No, that's okay.
I don't know that story.
There's a Green Eggs and Ham TV show on Netflix that also mentions or references the Yukes and the Zooks.
A TV show? How do they extend the story that long?
It's really good. It's animated. So I've watched it with the kids and it's actually really funny. Michael Douglas is in it and a few other he's not Sam I Am, he's the other guy, the guy who doesn't like green eggs and ham, basically. It's actually really well done. If you feel like watching, if you're a Dr. Zeus fan, I'd say it's a comedy, like it's not too kiddie or anything, it's quite funny. So yeah, check it out. They did two seasons, so there's two seasons anyway.
What? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. We watched it. I think it only came out last year or something. Yeah, we just randomly stumbled upon it. I'm like, oh, let's watch this, guys. And they were not interested because they're never interested in new things that they don't know, even though they do know Green Eggs and Ham. But, of course, they loved it. We've literally watched it through twice, all two seasons twice. Yeah. So, it was popular with our household at least. So, yeah.
The truth comes out while you're not doing Zelda Dungeons. You're rewatching Green Eggs and Ham on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, it is funny.
You still haven't seen the Grinch cartoon.
I know. I was going to say that. Yeah. Did you watch the Grinch during the week, Kirk?
I'm going to wait till closer to Christmas, I think. But yes, I will watch that movie. And
that's also my excuse then. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I think Dr. Zeus is cool. Anyway, all right, let's move on. So, Trev, this is a little game that you reviewed during the week called Garden Simulator. And I know some of us have also just been mowing, so we might be interested to hear about this in our real life context. But what can you tell us about Garden Simulator?
Yeah, it's an interesting little game. I feel like simulators, really for me, until the Switch era, were largely, like PC, they had presence on consoles, but I feel like they were pretty limited. And then on the Switch, all of a sudden now you go on the eShop and there's just dozens and dozens of these simulator games, and they really are an acquired taste. it's like Bart and Lisa doing the yard work simulator. I mean, I'm not gardening in my backyard, but I'm doing it on the Switch. But for what it is, it's not a bad little game. You know, you're basically contained to your yard for your virtual house, and you're kind of free after the, you know, tutorial to decorate it, plant as you see fit. It's a little odd the way they structure it, because even though it's your yard, you start with just like one patch and the rest of it's kind of blocked off. It's like, why can't I access my whole yard? Is this some kind of weird like HOA thing where it's like, oh no, you can only mow that part of the yard?
Yeah. But how would that work in real life? I can't even imagine. Maybe there's some pests or something they've had to spray.
Quirky, and it's neat too, because like you go on your laptop and you're like, oh, I want to order, you know, a bag of seed or whatever, and then it like arrives within a few seconds, and you'll hear like from the distance, like, heads up, and this crate will just come dropping out of the sky. And like, whoa, concussion, or worse.
Like in Bugs Bunny, the delivery services in Bugs Bunny.
Drops
like a letter in the box and stands there, and the package arrives right away.
Yeah, that's...
They have little parachutes, though, don't they, usually? Do they have parachutes?
They should. These do not. and you have a cat that roams the yard, and the cat never got hit, but I don't know if that's a possibility.
Is it your cat? Can you interact with the cat?
You can pet him, and apparently you can... I think my wife annoyed him. I forget what she did. But I don't know if the little robot mower that you can eventually get, like, nipped him or... or what, but it's a cute little game. You know, it's a game you can chill with. Like, it's the sort of game, once you get in the rhythm, like you could be have a movie on in the background and be playing it in handheld mode or whatever.
True. Yeah.
It's an acquired taste.
Sounds like it's got some personality, at least, which is cool. Did you want to tell us about the gnomes? What's with the gnomes?
Yeah, there's a curious kind of emphasis on gnomes. So I mentioned, like, you go to the laptop, you can order different, you know, plants for your garden, or, you know, accoutrements, whatever. But yeah, there's a lot of like these gnomes you can unlock to decorate. And I get, you know, little garden gnome, but you can even do like these kind of like life size, like the size of like a human gnome.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, man, that's a nice sword. Like, I can't imagine, like, maybe, I don't know. It's like home security. Like, somebody sees that in the shadows and they run away. They're not going to break in your house, but
yeah.
Personality, I guess it helps it stand out from all the other simulators on the eShop. In fact, if you go to the game page, I was looking at the game page on Nintendo's site, and that's like the featured image is this kind of, he's not creepy per se, but I do wonder what he's thinking, this little gnome.
Right.
So
it just makes me think of, was there a Simpsons episode where everyone had security? Was there a gnome that had laser eyes, or am I just making that up?
Is that when they went to that island?
No, it's the one where the cat burglar episode, and they all in town get some sort of crazy security system, and Professor Frank has that house that gets up and runs away and then catches on fire.
That's the one where they're like under a giant tea, and then like it shows everything in town is like
T-shirt. Yes. Dig up.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to watch that again.
Yeah, I just watched that a few weeks ago, but I feel like there was a laser-eyed. I could be completely wrong, but you know,
I think the gnomes in Garden Simulator have that, although I can't say with certainty. So
okay. So the thing about simulators is they don't really end, do they? There's not like an end goal. You could keep playing it forever, right?
Well,
or does this one have a goal?
Kind of. I mean, with this one, like compared to like I reviewed Farming Simulator, and that's huge. You got these two, you know, gigantic farms where you can just kind of open world. You can drive all over. This, you're really just contained to your yard. You have like a suburb yard that's, you know, it's a good size, but it's not huge. And I feel like eventually, once you unlock like every patch of land, and once you unlock maybe all the gnomes, then you're really just driven by how much you want to decorate or change things up. And I mean, there's different save profiles, so you can really go crazy if you want to just do one garden with like all strawberries or something, you know, go for it. But I feel like this game maybe has more of an ending, not an ending in the traditional sense, but just you're not driven to do anything else because there's not really a whole lot you can earn.
Yeah, like eventually you're just happy with your garden and you leave it. Do you think if you come back in like a month, it'll be overrun with, I don't know, weeds and, I don't know, critters? Does it have seasons or anything like that? Does it change?
I know of, no. And that was one of my criticisms in the review is there's really no, because, you know, you think a garden and maybe a spring or summer, but there are produce that, you know, gets harvested in the fall. And it's like, I want to see some foliage on these trees. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to see a little bit of, but, you know, it is what it is. I don't actually know how much it is. It's not full price, but it's higher than budget. It's probably in between 20 something maybe.
Okay. So, interesting. Yeah. I'm not much of a sim person, but that's okay.
I feel like once you get it the way you want it, like if it's anything like I did with Animal Crossing, like once I had my town kind of the way I liked it, I didn't change it a whole lot. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like, do you want to blow up the garden and start fresh? I don't know. I'd probably just do a different save profile at that point if I did.
Did you say blow up and start afresh?
Did I say blow up? I don't know.
I don't know.
Delete it, whatever.
That would be a fun little aspect. Like, just to bury some TNT in the garden and then just like clear it out to make sure the cat's not there at the time.
Well, you could do that in Minecraft, so why not in Garden
City? Gnomes flying all over the neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh, see that? Now that would be fun. That would be fun. Exploding gnomes. Like,
yeah. It'd be cool if it tied in with Plants vs. Zombies as well, because every time you're talking about backyards, I'm just thinking of Plants vs. Zombies, you know, if you had that kind of enemies attacking, but then it's not a simulator, but you know,
something to attack. That one. I'm aware, really? Of it. Yeah, I never played that one.
Yeah, I went through a phase. I think it was on the DS or 3DS at some point, and mobile devices, obviously, but yeah. Yeah, Plants vs. Zombies is fun. That's my kind of garden simulator. Nice. Thank you for that, Trev. And if listeners are interested in finding out Trev's full thoughts, you can check out the review. It's online currently on our website, purenintendo.com. A game that I'm very interested in hearing about from you, Kirk, is the Lara Croft collection, which we mentioned a few weeks ago as an upcoming game, and now it's out. It's out in the wild. And you have posted a review as well on the website. I'm very keen to hear your thoughts on this one. What did you think of the Lara Croft collection?
I had a great time with this game, and it's one that's been out for a while on different systems. The first game in this collection came out in, I believe, 2010, and the second one in 2014. I believe even for iOS, maybe just the first one was available for iOS, so I could have played it that way. But yeah, it's not a Tomb Raider game. It's Tomb Raider's not even in the name. It's just a kind of an isometric sort of dungeon crawler featuring Lara Croft, and depending on how many people you have with you, 2 to 4 players. The first game in the collection is only up for two, but the second game that they put in allows up to 4 people to local multiplayer. So and it's a lot of fun, just as if you're sitting there playing. I think in the review I mentioned it's sort of like Diablo, or there's another game that we had that we played called 9 Parchments from the people who developed Trine. And it's a lot like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I love most about it is I kind of soured on the Tomb Raider games once Square Enix kind of took over and they rebooted it. And, you know, they made Lara a grittier, darker, more realistic kind of thing. And it's not that it was bad. It's that's not what I wanted out of that character. Plus, then it was almost all action and she was just killing hundreds and hundreds of people in these games. And I thought this, you know, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense based on what we knew so far. So this game focuses much more on puzzles. So along with, you know, you're chasing down the bad guys, and there are a lot of demon creatures coming at you that you still have to shoot. There is still a lot of gunplay in it, but there are a lot of items you could pick up. There's a lot, like every now and again you'll come across like these we'll call them tombs, but they're sort of like just side ventures where you're not fighting anyone. There's an item that you have to get, and you have to figure out how to get there, and you're working with the people that you're playing with, or by yourself if you're one-on-one, but it's much more fun with another player, working in tandem to be able to reach these artifacts that you're collecting. So the, like each level, I think, usually it took Sam and I about 30 minutes to complete one of them, which was kind of a bummer, because then you go back to the achievements that they have, and one of the achievements is to complete the level in 5.
Wow. That's a big...
Because you're like, they seem to go by quick, but it's not really that quick.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, it's... And I think, and I mentioned in the review, I think a lot of that is for replayability, because some of the achievements, there's no way you're going to be able to collect everything you need to collect and still complete a level in 5 minutes. So you'll play it once and you'll try to get all the items. Then you'll play it again and try to beat it in 5 minutes. Or like there's one where you get an achievement for crossing a river without stepping in the water. But then there's also like, there are 10 red skulls that you have to collect, and one of the red skulls is in the water. So obviously you're going to have to play it twice in order to get both of those achievements.
Clever.
So the games aren't long. You know, if you're not replaying levels, you're going to be able to complete the first one in around 8 or 9 hours. The second one is even shorter, I think.
Oh, wow.
Since there are 4 people playing, they had to shorten things a bit because things were just, it was more involved. And that one you can complete in about like 5 or 6 hours, maybe. But again, replayability does it. But if you're a Tomb Raider fan, unless the thing you loved about Tomb Raider was the third person action, first person? What is it when you're actually seeing the person in front of you?
My third person.
Yeah,
my English degree just went out the window. but if you like that style gameplay, then you're not going to like this. But if you like the spirit of exploration and the puzzle solving and the action, then this is very much in line with what the original Tomb Raider games are. And I just had a great time with it.
Nice.
And it looks good too. For a game that's 13 years old, I really love that kind of... those like really detailed graphics with those isometric view that you can get that you can't often get with a first person or third person point of view.
That's true. Cool. That sounds really good. Yeah. Did you say this already? When you are playing with 2 people or 4 people, depending on the game, if you don't have a person to play with, are you playing by yourself or do you have an AI kind of helper?
You do have an AI helper, but a lot of the puzzles you kind of have to solve yourself even with that. Mm-hmm. So it sort of loses a little bit of its punch.
Okay. So it's definitely targeted towards multiplayer. Okay. Cool. And did Sam enjoy it? Your son?
Yeah. Well, he,
what was he forced?
He enjoys it because he gets to make fun of me while he's playing it. In fact, early on in the game, you have one of the things that you can do is drop a bomb. You hit Y to place a bomb, and then you hit Y to explode it, so you can place it, move it. And as we're running, he runs in front of me, drops a bomb, and explodes it while I'm trying to catch up. Well, actually, his phrase was, oh, well, that doesn't do much damage. And then he felt that he could attack me with it nonstop because it wasn't going to kill me before we got a health pack. So, these are the kind of things I deal with when playing with my children.
Sounds like a little bit like Bomberman in a way. Does it? Can you die in a level? Like if you don't get health or whatever?
Yeah. Yes. You can die, and then if someone hurries up, or if your partner comes over and hits B close to you, then you could pick up right where you were. Otherwise, you kind of like have to respawn. So you can come back in at any time. Have to, it's not a game where you could just like drop in a second player. When you start a level, you need to indicate if you're single player or multiplayer. You can't hop in and out, but you can keep going.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Sounds good. Sounds like a recommended game from Kirk. Yep. Anyone else played
that? 5, right? You give it.
Yeah. Good number. Yeah. Has anyone else on the on the show played this game at all or interested?
No, I'm interested in it. I like to check it out, the co-op aspects and
computer
games. So.
I was joking with Kirk because I think I proofed this one, and I think I mentioned I hadn't played a Tomb Raider game since the Dreamcast. So going back, what, over 20 years? And I don't think I've actually really loved a Tomb Raider game since the second one on the PlayStation.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So, which is what, like 1997, I think? So I feel like I'm a lapsed Tomb Raider player.
Mm-hmm.
But or this isn't really Tomb Raider, it's Lara Croft. So
true. Well, she is the Tomb Raider, though. Right.
She'll always be the Tomb Raider in our hearts.
Yeah. It just makes me think of Indiana Jones for some reason, I suppose, because it's tombs. And is she an archaeologist or is she just like hunting for relics? I don't know. But who do we prefer, Indiana Jones or Lara Croft? Or is that a loaded question?
You'll have to ask me after I see the new film.
Yeah.
I prefer Lara Croft for games and Indiana Jones for films.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Justin?
Yeah. What do you think?
Same, yeah. You saw the movie, didn't you?
Lego Indiana Jones is pretty good, though.
That's true. That was hard. I found that harder than, say, Lego Star Wars. I don't know.
Huh.
Was it just me? No?
Okay. I don't know. What would you play it on? See, I think I only played it on the DS, so I might have had a
the Wii, I think. Experience. Maybe. I think it was on the Wii. I don't know, it was a while ago. It's a long time ago.
It's funny, some of the Lego games, even though they're easy, sometimes they, I don't know, certain things trip me up, like certain mechanics or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. They're renowned for their, sometimes their controls not being the best, or their glitches especially. So.
Oh yeah, they're kind of glitchy.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, well, thank you, Kirk, for the wrap-up of Lara Croft. Check out that review online right now. Well, after you listen to the show. So the game that I've been reviewing or playing for review, I should say, is DLC, actually, for a game I did last year. So it's Gerda, A Flame in Winter. And this is the second story to come with the game. So originally you play... So the game is like set in the 1940s. And it also reminds me of Indiana Jones in a way, because it's about fighting Nazis, essentially. And that's what one of Indy's adventures involved. And if you've seen the new movie, you'll know that's in it as well. So, yeah, but this is not an archaeological adventure. It's more like a spy kind of adventure, I suppose. And it's kind of the isometric view as well, actually, like Lara Croft. But it's more like a visual novel. You sort of follow your characters around and interact with elements and people, and choose a path, and it's set in winter, hence the name. So it's very bleak looking, you know, European winter, very cold and snowy. And you know, there's obviously bad guys who kind of are around, and you have to kind of, and you're leading a rebellion in this DLC. So you're the leader of a crew of people who are trying to thwart the Nazis at the tail end of the war in Copenhagen, I believe it is. And it's really, yeah, I really liked the original game last year when I reviewed it and enjoyed that immensely.
Didn't you have the original game? I was trying to remember. I think you and Roger had like an indie podcast where you did like your favorite indies. Didn't the Gerda make your list?
It did. Yeah.
I remember that.
It stood out. I think it was partly the look of it, just because it is that wintry, European kind of 1940s vibe, and it's not something I've experienced a lot of in games.
I feel like winter always looks great in games for some reason.
Yeah, it does, I think. And I mean, I guess I studied World War II at school, so I kind of have an interest in that era of history, of human history, and it's so I know a bit about it. You know, when you do history at school, I don't know, it depends on the school, I guess, or the grade, the year level. You do different, like you might do Roman, you know, Roman history, or you might do, I don't know. I can't think of anything else except Rome and Nazi Germany. But essentially,
whatever. How about when Homer taught Apu history
Yes, that's the Homer version, the abridged version. Yeah, so I feel like if you've studied, like, it's like Shakespeare, right? Shakespeare's hard, but I like Hamlet because we did that in year 9 at school, whereas I don't know Macbeth or I don't know the others. But if I see a Hamlet movie, even though it's gobbledygook, it's like I know the plot because I studied it in grade 9. So same with World War II, I suppose. I know the background to it, and because I studied it a little bit, I have a bit of an interest. So for me, it was an interesting time. And because it's not like in Germany, it's not like you're, you know, flying planes or doing kind of the battles that we know about that happened during that war. It's this espionage aspect to it. So it's really interesting. It's not like you're facing off against Hitler. You're sort of in this little country town trying to start this rebellion. So it's really, it's an interesting take on the war, I guess, from that perspective. So I like that as well.
Is it depressing or is it like optimistic?
I'd say it's optimistic. Yeah, mostly. You know, there are characters who may die depending on this, on the path you take. So from that aspect, I suppose it could be seen as depressing. You know, people do die, but overall it's, you know, it's meant to be an optimistic, like we can take on this larger group of people who are more powerful and ultimately try to win. So yeah, it's about hope, I guess, and keeping that hope alive, like the flame, I suppose, in the name, the flame in winter is, in the original one, Gerda is the flame. So she's like a nurse and she's kind of this hope that helps all these people in the background and tries to spark, I guess, this rebellion. And now this is like a continuation of that story, but from a different person's perspective. So yeah, I was pleased with it. So I need to write up my review of the DLC though. So that watch for that. But that's what I've been playing and enjoying recently. And it's going quite well. So yeah, I should wrap that up during this week. But what else are we playing at the moment? Katie or Justin, do you have other games that you're playing at the moment?
Yeah, other than the Pikmin 4 demo. And some Zelda here and there, but a whole lot. I mean, at our game nights, we've been playing. We did play a little Smash Brothers recently, and that was fun to dive into again. Just some other little multiplayer games here and there. Boomerang Foo.
Still... I was about to say that. I always think of you when I play that game because you recommended it. it's so good, and we did play that recently as well. As well as Mario Kart, brushing up for the next wave. I did hear, this is unrelated to what we were just talking about, but I did hear that the Switch had its best June in Japan ever, like it's sales-wise, which I thought was a really interesting piece of news. So the sales for the last month for June that just passed, after, 6 years, that was their best June. And, I mean... probably it's because of The Legend of Zelda, but still, we know we keep talking about the Switch 2 or whatever the successor might be. It's not fading though, is it? It's still, you know, doing really well.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Or do you think it translates to other territories? Like they mentioned specifically Japan.
It's like that meme. It prints money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it probably is maybe close in some other territories. We'll get some of the sales numbers. I think some of the sales numbers for like North America don't get announced until like the 10th or 15th of the month or something. But we should get some North American ones. But I bet it's going to be big numbers across the board. And I'm sure Nintendo is trying to figure out when is the best time to launch a new system, right? Mm-hmm. Like Switch is still riding high. They haven't even had to drop the price on the thing. we're kind of in uncharted territory here. And so they don't want to cut the legs off of it, right? If it's like, hey, it's still selling. They've got a brand new 2D Mario game, which looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. That's probably going to sell a ton this year. I would love for them to try and keep selling the Switch even after a new system comes out, like just drop the price, have some other things like that, to try and beat out the PS2 or the DS for most sales of all time. Because the Switch is still trailing those by a good 25 million, 30 million. Switch would have to sell another 15 to 20 million this year and another 15 million next year to have a chance at catching those. So, they would have to instigate some sales. And I think Nintendo, there's precedent for that. You know, I feel like the Wii really tapered off at the end of its life, right? Mm-hmm. People were ready for that next system, even though the Wii U wasn't as, stellar as everyone wanted it. The DS had a really long life, a long tail to its sales. So I think
have probably topped the PS2. They were just a few hundred thousand away,
something like that. It was just so close.
They really. Nintendo should have been more aggressive with that.
I think the Switch has a chance. And think about it, guys. If a Switch successor comes out, and then they drop the existing Switch price points by $50 to $100 each. If you could get a Switch Lite for $99 to $150.
I'd grab one instantly.
Anyway, so they're really in the driver's seat here on what they want to do. I think they could top those sales. Is just what are they going to do?
That's interesting. I like what you said, that it is unprecedented territory, because that's true. It's not like history repeating itself. It's different every time, and in 5 years we can talk about, or 10 years we can talk about what happened at the end of the Switch's life cycle, but at this point in time we don't really know. And it feels like you've put it really optimistically, which is cool, because I'm thinking there must be a lot of pressure on Nintendo, to make a decision. They've obviously got something in the works. They're not just sitting on their hands. They're developing something behind the scenes. They just haven't announced it. But when do you announce it? And that's why they have the people who get paid money for these kinds of things. But I would be stressed. I'd be like, when's the right time? I don't know.
Well, and also the longer they put it off, the more launch titles they'll have.
Yeah.
So it's possible, they've got third-party developers who are working on games. So we can put this off a couple more months, and we can add this, this, and this to launch day.
True.
And that could be huge.
Yeah.
Metroid Prime 4.
Yeah. I fully expect that Prime 4 is going to be a cross-gen game. It's going to be, if they decide to launch it on the first Switch at all, or just launch it on the successor at this point. But I think Nintendo knows they announced it for the Switch, and know people bought a Switch to eventually play that game. So I don't think they're going to make it exclusive to the next system. I think they'll be honorable with that.
And
they've done that with Zelda games, right?
Yeah. So I think people are going to care about the graphics, and they're like, oh, if it's that much better on the new system, cool, I'll do that. But there's still plenty of people that are like, no, I don't have the money to buy a new system, right? But I still want to play the new Prime game when it comes out. So I think they're going to, and they can't ignore the sales numbers of the Switch, right? Metroid is already a little bit of a niche IP for them. It's not like Zelda, it's not like Mario Kart, It needs a good install base to sell well.
That's true.
But again, they, like you said, Kirk, launch lineup, I fully believe that a 3D Mario they're saving for the next system. That's why I think it's a perfect time for a 2D Mario game. That's going to be a huge, huge boost to Switch sales, game sales, all of that. I think Nintendo, like you said, it's an unenviable position to decide when to come out with the next system. but they're looking at metrics, right? They're going to look at some hard numbers, and they're going to see what are the daily active user counts across our systems, right?
Sure.
And is it going down? When it gets to a certain level, that's when I think you'll see them start talking about the next system. But my guess is they won't start talking about that until that sales really start, you know, tapering off some more, or people are less active on their switch, right? Like, to me, that's the most telling metric of all, is how often are people playing the switch, right? How often are they having games to play, right? Even from third parties. So if they're still seeing like monthly active users and, you know, people still playing the switch quite a bit, then I think you'll still see them porting some games here and there to fill in between, you know, some titles like Pikmin and the 2D Mario, which are, you know, not as development intensive, time intensive as Zelda or 3D Mario.
That's true. Even though it's been a long time between entries for both series.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. And I'm thinking back in the day, you know, when they had like the NES or the Game Boy, or, you know, systems that weren't online, essentially, they really just had to rely on sales numbers and, I guess, right. You know, public perception. They couldn't see how many people were online. They couldn't see how many people were playing day to day. So maybe it makes it a little bit easier these days. I don't know. But yeah, I think it, with sales, with, you know, Tears of the Kingdom, obviously boosting things for now. And I think Pikmin will see a bit of a boost, and Mario as well. Yeah, it looks like they'll ride out the rest of the year, and then, yeah, I guess keep measuring those numbers and see when the time is right. It's very interesting. It's an interesting time, and it's fun to speculate. So, yeah, it'll be here eventually. Sorry.
Exciting times ahead. Like, we're already, like, the Switch has already been such an awesome generation of, you know, like, I think a lot of people would probably say it's maybe one of their favorite Nintendo systems of all time. Like, it's just been really good. We're living in a heyday for Nintendo games.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I do hope it continues. I hope we get like a Super Nintendo to a Nintendo, as opposed to a Wii U to a Wii.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We don't need like a new branding either. New Nintendo Switch. No. Yeah. Super Nintendo Switch. Something.
I would love a Super Nintendo Switch. I think that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
That would be really
cool. Switch Boy.
Switch Boy. Yeah, so many ideas. I hope Nintendo's listening. Anyway. Well, I think that's about time. Let's call it there, I think. So thank you so much, everybody, for joining me this week. Did anyone have any final comments they wanted to impart us with? Any words of wisdom from the crew? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay, well, thank you very, very much for listening to today's show. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on the podcast channels, or like us on YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe so you can catch next week's episode. And thank you, everyone online, for joining me this week. And until next week, game on, everybody.
Thanks, Gemma.
Bye.